Now, if anybody wants to talk about condemnation, it should be in this vessel for the hour prior to coming up here. But we thank the Lord and we praise Him, because it doesn't matter how we feel or what we think. It doesn't matter where we are or what we see in the mirror, looking outwardly. We thank the Lord because it's His word. Because we don't need to worry about the timing or the effectiveness, or how does that relate to this economical society. None of that. It's His word. Oh, it's always in time. It's always relevant. And we praise the Lord, and we come to worship and love. And the words will have the Lord's desired effect. For as the rain and the snow fall from the heavens and do not return without watering the ground and budding forth the plants, so it is with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this morning's title is Blessed Are Those Who Mourn, For They Shall Be Comforted, from Matthew 5:4. And I got it from the Lord. I received the title maybe 8 days ago or something. And I was looking at it and chewing on it and thinking. And, I was saying, this is just a funeral scripture, though, isn't it? I mean, blessed are them who mourn, because they'll be comforted. Well, if you're in Christ and the deceased was in Christ, okay, fair enough. What about those who don't know the Lord? Or the one dies not knowing the Lord, and the one who's left comes to the Lord. Okay, they'll be comforted. But what about the deceased? I was saying to the Lord, it's not good enough. We need love, not condemnation here. Right. And the Lord turned around and said, have you any idea what mourn means? And I was just flabbergasted. No, I don't. So, handy these Hebrew words and these Bibles with all that stuff in it. But there's two Hebrew words for mourn, and literally they both mean repent. I'm not going to give you these Hebrew words. It's a struggle speaking English, let alone any other language, but you can look them up. It'll be in the computer. Literally, both mean to repent. Blessed are those who repent, for they will be comforted. Of course, nobody repents without spirit-led conviction. It's the weight of conviction, and it's not a weight or a burden. Matthew 28:11. I mean, it's light, it's easy, it's so refreshing. There's a comfort. The weight of conviction has to be a glory to behold. It must be preached. The power of conviction has to be put across as life-saving, life-changing. The glory of God and salvation. Definitive and progressive sanctification, they call it. Definitive, we're born again. Progressive, we should ever be convicted. We should ever, no matter how close we feel we are, we should ever seek to come nearer, my God, to Thee. And when I got that, of course, when I got the old mission praise out, and when I preached first, the Lord said something to me. Songs aren't written to be spoken, songs are written to be sung. And I said that, and I sung. But I went on to this one last night, and see for me that tune, and it's so slow, and up and down e-bits, and it's going to be spoken. Because I can't do that. But this yet, praise God. Yeah. Yeah, but there's people here too.
Ignore that.
No. This song has, I'm sure many people know it more than me because I have only been here, you know, 2 minutes. Taken from Jacob's journey after he stole Esau's blessing and he's running away to Laban's, and I'm sure we can put ourselves in his shoes and see what kind of situation he was in. I mean, his mother had only said to him, you know, pretty much do this. I mean, we know Jacob's character. It didn't take much to force him, but still, you know, he'd have been in a mournful state. He would have been hurt. He scammed his father on his father's deathbed. He stole from his brother after he'd already taken his pursue. And we can see the mourning throughout this song in verses 1 to 3, and we can see the comforting in verses 4 and 5. For on the Lord, blessed are those who repent. If we think Jacob wasn't in a repentful state as he laid down with a stone as a pillow, I mean, you wouldn't even bother. Would you? A stone as a pillow. You'd have to be mental. But times were hard. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. He, and though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song would be, nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee, my God, beloved. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee. There let the way appear, steps up to heaven, all that thou sendest me, in mercy given. Angels to beckon me, nearer, my God, to thee. There's a cry, a heartfelt cry. Verses 4 and 5, then, with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. Hallelujah. So by my woes to be, nearer, my God, to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upwards I fly, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee. Sun, moon, and stars forgot. I mean, the majesty and beauty of the creation disappear into the light of the Lord. Blessed are those who repent, for they shall be comforted. This, as in verses 4 and 5, the song, the sky is open, the darkness is gone, a weight is lifted. So while mourn means to repent, of course for self or others, it also means to sigh heavily with others for their burdens, and weep with those who weep. If we turn to Isaiah 61, 2 and 3. Now, really, it's more part C of verse 2, but anyway, I'll read the lot. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Amen.
Amen. And now we'll just flip a couple of pages. Isaiah 66, 10 to 13, 14 to 16. Okay. Okay, Isaiah 66, 10 onward. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, the comfort of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. You shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Verse 14 to 16. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire,
hallelujah,
and his chariots like a whirlwind, Jesus, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. And actually at that point, I wrote beside, oh dear Lord, tarry, wait, for what a glorious day for those who know him, but oh, what a mournful day for the other 6.5 billion people. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who repent, blessed are those who feel conviction of sin for all others around them, no matter their any state, religiosity or this or that or colour or whatever. Blessed are those who repent. And as these scriptures show us, you shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Has one whose own mother comforts him. Even more, has one who sighs deeply, deeply with the world, and yet turns to God. He's got the weight of the world, because he cares, and yet he turns to the Lord to be fed by the ample bosom of love of the Lord Jesus. I mean, there is no rock and hard place. There's the pain and the conviction, but the ample love of God in the bosom. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. A loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. At this time, when the world is still in control from the human perception, there should be weeping and repentance. There should be conviction and intercession for those who are purely blinded. For those who are in Christ, the word blessed means that congratulations are in order. That you're doing a service. That congratulation that we all dream of and read about. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Blessed are they. 2 Corinthians 1, 6-7 sums up all that's on this page. We'll just have a look at that. 2 Corinthians 1, 6 and 7. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. And if I just nip back to Revelation 21:24 quickly. I was lucky. I was blessed. Wait a minute. Yes. Now, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. For the former things have passed away." We'll do well just to keep that in our minds for a wee minute. But now I want to look at Matthew 5:4 from a slightly different perspective. A different perspective. There's only one light. He shines till the end of age. We'll make this verse more literal as the layman would read it, and we will attempt to make it personal as our own lives testify to renewal in Christ. I know this next sentence in capital letters. Bear in mind, this is my revelation, and walk in the Lord, just in case. Matthew 5:4. Repent. Yes, obvious. How can we spend a life doing anything else? Also, mourn. As it reads, as I originally thought it, mourn as in greet and blubber. Not be unconsoled or inconsolable. That's just not a thing in Christ. But yet, grieve even. 2 Corinthians 5:12-20. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin and become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God
yeah.
in him, as Revelation 21 said, the new has come. This scripture, dead to sin, alive to Christ, informs us of new beings, that we are new beings. Most of us here, I'm not going to say what other people, but I'd say most of us here are born again, water baptized, and spirit filled. Plus we all receive our own revelations that we hold. The Lord speaks to us all in different seasons, as in the baptism of the Spirit, water baptism, when you're born again. This informs us, being born again, water baptized, spirit filled, hearing from God, speaking to God. It informs us of the truth to our testimony, the truth that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. Or are we? Isaiah 65:17-18. Are we dead to sin? For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people as a joy. The former shall not. Former shall not be remembered. How often we all talk about, what's that word again? Condemnation. And I knew what I was saying when I got up here, in the very beginning. The former, this isn't the Lord us. This is the Lord telling us. This is an order. And an order from the Lord. It'd probably be wise to put a touch of weight on it. The former shall not, but rejoice. Now, when in this world there's a death, you can rejoice that your loved one's now in the glory. But what comes first? Anybody who dies, if you knew them, grief, loss, pain, questions, mourning, sorrow, a state of depression, fear, anxiety. How many laments and mournings and wailings and weepings, read Jeremiah, are there over Jerusalem during the exile? Amid her rape and her death, there is wailing. Now, our old man or woman is quite literally dead. How on earth can the former not come to mind? He must be at peace with our sinful old nature, knowing that it's ever dead and buried with Christ and nailed to his cross. If I knew a man for 30 something years and then he died, if I was quite friendly with him, I'd be lost. I'd mourn. I'd be greeting. He's dead, he's gone. There ain't no coming back for that man. No matter if he was a good man or not, yet he was my friend. I would need to mourn. I would need to grieve. I can't just say, oh, well, he's dead. Oh, great. I'll just carry on walking in this way or that way. I'll repent and I'll do a 160, and instead of walking the way we walk together, I'll walk the other way and I'll be absolutely fine. I just won't think about him, because that's how we get over death, isn't it? just by completely ignoring it. No, it's not. We work through it. We need to work through it. I knew the old me for a lot longer than I've known Christ in me. Everything I did, everything I said, everything I thought, it came from me. Therefore, as was revealed to me, this isn't now, this is quite a while ago, I must grieve for my old man. I must mourn for my old man. Of course, quite necessary. I must repent for my old man through conviction of sin, knowing that the Lord has put it there, not for my burden, not for my pain, not for not to crush me, but to restore me, to let me walk through it, to raise me up. Christ died to be raised. That weight is there, that we can walk through, that we can grieve through, that we can mourn through. The only person I ever knew, and I knew what he did. I knew how he coped, and I'd be sitting in a prison cell thinking, "Who now? What now? And where now?" If I was still the same person, it would be okay, because I could have got whatever I wanted in there. And I had the knowledge that I can just, I'll be released one day. I wouldn't have been released so quickly, but, I'd have still got out. And I could have just carried on being, the old man. If I cannot grieve him into restitution and peace, therefore am I ever burdened and pained by memories which contradicts God, which goes against what he says, which I can guarantee you from my life is quite literally swearing at him as he says, "Remember not." Everything I walk is a complete contradiction to what the Lord says. Everything I act is therefore a complete contradiction, and everything I breathe, because I am it in the new. I am still in the old because I haven't buried him and I haven't gone through the process. The Lord and I were having a conversation about the fishing. "Oh, I'm working hard and blah blah blah, and this and that, and I need to do more." And I was on the deck, guy, not on the boat, on the deck in my kitchen, on the floor. "Oh Lord, if I was 10% as passionate about you and your word and your children, and I had half the amount of drive as I do to go and work," because it's all Andy ever did was work, or drink, or others, but work was always number one. If I had half that, or a quarter, I'd be radiant. And the Lord said, "Why do you care so much about the fishing?" And my answer was, "It's who I am." Before I had thought, before I had, it's who, and then that was kind of, "Dear Lord, why do you?" And that's how I, what am I going to do? Oh, I'll go to work. I'll just get up early. I'll spend all day. If it's terrible or not, I'll just go into a wee strop, because I'm a wee child. I know nothing else. And I suppose the old man's gone to a certain extent that there are no drink or drugs or... we don't need to get too dirty, but fornications or whatever you call it. I don't know if that's actually gay or not, but anyway, this isn't the gay kind I'm talking about. But still been dirty and all that stuff. To a certain extent, but the brokenness is there still. The grieving hasn't been completed. Blessed are those who mourn, And even in the literal sense, blessed are those who mourn, because we have to mourn. It was a larger part, not really everybody. Some people have been born into the Lord and never faltered. And I mean, if that's not the testimony of testimonies, I don't know what is in this world. It's certainly not my testimony. My testimony isn't glory to God. About that much of it is. The rest is just death and condemnation, and it's just lifting the enemy right up. But a lot of us, I would wager, have been that person most of our lives. And no matter how much of a change, are we fully changed? It's who I am, Lord. Truly, it isn't. I must mourn him, the old man, to meet me in Christ. I spoke about mourn here, but at the minute I'm going to change it to grieve. These are interchangeable words. All means one thing. Blessed are those who grieve, for they shall be comforted. The bosom is ever there. The Lord is ever there. The fountain of joy and the overflowing from your own belly is ever there. Grief is a multifaceted response to loss, particularly the loss of someone or something that has died, to which, even you're writing fast. So which are what? Ah, I thought I said vowel, and I was thinking that. We're not going into that because I need to take laxative sometimes, and that would be just too big a conversation this time. Grief's a multifaceted response to loss, particularly the loss of someone or something that has died, to which a bond, or affliction has formed. Although conventionally focused upon the emotional response to loss, it also has physical, cognitive, behavioural, social, cultural, spiritual, and philosophical dimensions. Grief. As the Apostle Paul says, and quickly, it doesn't matter who says it, it's the Holy Spirit. For these two scriptures, I don't do it because it is from a very human perspective, but it's a Lord, it's a Spirit, it's not a man. The names in the Bible are merely to lead us from one bit to another, according to me. As the Apostle Paul says, if anyone thinks he has reason to boast, I had more. Born into whatever, on the 8th day, sir, all the rest of it. Without lamentation, into repentance, by conviction, we are merely half-born, or as Paul says, Christ appeared to me as one abnormally born, as one stillborn, as one pretty much aborted. I am the least of the apostles. Without lamentation, into repentance, by conviction, we are merely half-born, or stillborn, or aborted parts, stem cells even. That's the Lord gives me this message, ideally not for you, for me. And then I get the blessing of sharing it. The Lord's called me into this position today. But the message is for me, as one, this is a truth of whom different parts are in a test tube. That's the truth, isn't it? Brutal. And we have to be brutal and real. One abnormally born. We have to step into that life and walk in it. We need fellowship, we need brothers, we need sisters, we need love, we need Hey, we need mourning, we need repentance, we need conviction, we need intercession, we need love, we need... how can Andy just keep on being Andy? When the only Andy knew is Marath. But yet he's not. And that's the problem. You know what I mean? We must grieve. The five stages of grief. And this is where I end. I'm going to leave this with you. Now, I didn't... it's not that I didn't bother. I didn't seem it necessary to associate scriptures with these stages, because I believe it's quite easy for us in our own minds to associate scriptures to these stages. The five stages of grief. And we can all see this in our walk. It's guaranteed we can all tie scripture to it. Number one, denial. Have any of us experienced denial since coming to the Lord? Anybody heard the voice of the enemy ever before? Anger. Ooh, that's a beauty for me. Oh Lord, you're a tease. What's that? Narcissist. That's what you are, Lord. I'm angry. Bargaining. Okay, I know I do this, but I mean, I used to do all that, and you forgave me all that, so, I mean, what's this? Depression. I just left these two blank because I'm not. And do you know, actually, when it comes to depression, I couldn't actually think of anything. Not even a comment. Now, I've been on the medication since I was 17. I mean, it's not that I tried to take my life many times. I did. And much to my disgust, they said helicopters, and they revived me multiple times. I tried on purpose, and multiple times I went over with smack by mistake, and every time, and all I ever wanted to do was just to leave. And every time, I've been depressed. I tried to kill myself twice in my eldest daughter's first week. Alive. I've known, but but I couldn't write anything there. Hallelujah. But yet we can take it home, and we can put these stages into our life. Acceptance. And, it's just a hallelujah acceptance. Isn't that the goal? I don't know everybody in here, in a personal in there, that's the Lord. And see, have you that acceptance? Oh, God bless you. Ah, wow. That's the goal, and that's what I'm leaving with you. Not because I couldn't be bothered to carry on or try and work through it. You got stuff to work through. Oof. We'll meet anybody. Praise God, don't we all? And where do we all want to get to? Stage 5. Sitting in the knee, where the bosom's there, and the poor world who we intercede for constantly is there, and we are alive in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that dirty little nastiness has no word on us. For we are full of grace and truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. We thank you, Father. I hope that you can talk to your broken, fallen little people. We thank you. We thank you for the work you do, for the people we are, and the work you do. if Christ hadn't done it all on the cross. Oh, where on earth would we be, Lord? It would be a sorry state. I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.